I'm Richard Lloyd-Jones, and welcome to Thinking with Somebody Else's Head. From the exotic land of samba and marvelous soccer, and no snow in sight, which for this Canadian boy is almost too good to be true, combine that with the profound wisdom emerging from the International Society of Analytical Trilogy, where I work, and this is heady stuff in Brazil. Goethe said that few people have the imagination for reality, and he had something there. We're so bombarded with the Sturm und Drang, the tempest and the howl of modern society that we don't imagine anything other than this. Even in those rare moments when we're transported by nature or deep rumination or heavenly music to touch transcendence, we're quickly brought thudding back to reality by an overdue bill or a burst bathroom pipe or a bleak TV news program. But what we touched in those otherworldly moments, I put to you, is the true reality that underpins the disgraceful society we've erected contemptuously on top of it. Let's get into that today. Making Great Theater, The Royals, Bin Laden, and Pseudo-Reality, our program this week on Thinking with Somebody Else's Head. Yes, we do have quite a show planned for you today. In watching the multi-million dollar royal wedding, I was struck by the fairy tale nature of it that was there for all of us to see. To remember what it was like to dream and imagine until the tragic and inevitable loss of our childhood innocence that we never quite recover from. Dr. Claudia Bernhardt-Pacheco offers a fascinating analysis of the royal wedding, a view of this event that I've never heard before. That'll be here in a few moments. Our contact information is important for you, I think. Our website is at healingthroughconsciousness.com. My personal email for this program is joneshealing@gmail.com. It's always open for you. Love to hear from you, hear what you're thinking, observations, questions, comments about the program. On our website at healingthroughconsciousness.com, all our Facebook and Twitter information is there as well. We are streaming on the Positive World Radio Network, this great radio network that's putting together such a great slew of shows for you to listen to, is available at pwrnradio.com. Our program streams as well through iTunes. I want to just say a couple of things in light of Bin Laden's alleged execution. I say alleged deliberately because he's been reported dead countless times before this latest announcement. So first of all, it would be very good to remain skeptical about any U.S. military or government pronouncements on this thing. We can't believe any motives from this totally corrupt power structure in the United States. We should have learned this from the revelations of CIA involvement in destabilizing sovereign national governments since the 50s, to the lies that got us mired in Vietnam and Iraq and on and on and on. So it's very good to see the European media being a little more skeptical than the U.S. journalistic sheep. Journalism basically is a disgrace in North America today, by and large. But there's a deeper point here, and that is something psychological to look at. There's a massive psychological problem of projection that's going on in the U.S. around terrorism. There's so much concern about terrorism outside, the war on terrorism, that the American people don't notice the terrorism that they are committing. I mean, imagine if a Brazilian special forces group went into Philadelphia and killed five people there without telling the American government what they're doing. This would be an international scandal. That's not even being considered in looking at this story. Well, that's the least of the problems, right? But I want to bring in something now that I think is very important for us to understand. That's a psychological and sociological perspective on this thing. About 5 days after 9/11, I sat down with Dr. Kepi to talk about terrorism and this attack, and he had some fascinating things to say about it. So I want to include a little excerpt from this interview I did with him back in 2001 that might shed some light on this psychologically. Now, Dr. Kepi speaks in Portuguese in this segment, and I've had my good friend Gilbert Gambucci dub into English over top of this. And the quality is, you know, not up to so much snuff here because it's from an old videotape that we took. But the point he's making is so important that I think it's relevant to talk about now. Let's go to that interview now with Dr. Kepi and find out his observations shortly after 9/11. It might be very relevant for us today. Dr. Kepi, how are you seeing society in light of this attack in New York a few days ago?
Society needs to modify its fundamental structure because peace comes from social justice. Any society, whether it's capitalist or communist or any other type, that doesn't offer to all individuals the opportunity of living equally and reasonably, at least in economic and social terms, this society creates revolt against this structure, which gives a chance to the more delinquent and sicker ones to attack this society. So, the only way to treat a sick society, as are all the world's societies today, is to create it so everyone suffers less injustice, so that all people have the same rights. Modern society doesn't have the democracy that they say they have. Not all people have the same chance to develop. Not all people have the same level socially and economically.
Well, you know, Dr. Kepi, it's really easy to see the problem as being something out there, isn't it? In the case of the World Trade Center or any other terrorist act, and there are many, we can tend to see the problem as a terrorist problem out there. Is this dangerous?
It's very dangerous to everybody, because even things that happen to us from other societies give consciousness to us that the same things are also occurring inside our society. And if we experience terrorism, then this brings consciousness that we may have the same problem, but we prefer to accuse others for it. In many cases, we have the same problems as we are seeing in the others whom we wish to attack. The society must begin to see that they have the same problems. In fact, I have noticed that the more a society is evolving, economically or even in the more human area, the more development it has, the more terrorism it also has. The modern society has created an extremely unjust economical state in the world, which has caused very strong reactions to it. The more powerful nations have more conditions to create more problems to the world than the more underdeveloped nations. After all, economic injustice is a form of terrorism.
You seem to be suggesting that the external terrorism is just a projection of what you call internal terrorism. In other words, the terrorism we see outside just being a reflection of the terrorism we have inside but don't want to see. How can you help us understand that better?
Well, when we notice terrorism outside ourselves, we need to see that in a certain way, that terrorism also exists inside as well. In this case, in the nation that sees the terrorism only outside itself. So we cannot say that certain nations are dangerous and others not, because the question of terrorism is not a question of this or that nation. It's a universal question. So if a nation sees terrorism coming only from the outside and not from inside as well, it is actually in more danger than the one who is willing to look at its own internal terrorism and take care of it in a more careful way. So, it is very dangerous to see the problem only on the outside. This brings up the question of psychological projection, which is a process where the person sees the problems that he has in the other person. So a nation that sees the problem outside becomes a very dangerous nation to itself, because it doesn't see that the problems are actually inside itself.
Dr. Kepi, could you talk a little bit more about psychological projection? Help us to understand your ideas about this a little bit better, please.
This question of projection is the central point of sickness in the human being and in society. The individual who refuses to see his own problems begins to see the problems outside of himself. So it is with a nation that doesn't see the problems it has. it will begin to see those problems in other nations. So this is a source of tension between nations, because instead of taking care of its problems, the nation comes to believe that it has to destroy to get rid of a problem that is not out there, but is actually inside itself. It is very important to see this. In the study of pathology, we call this paranoia. Paranoia occurs when human beings do not see the problems in themselves, and as a result, they create enormous difficulties for themselves, even to the point of entering into deliriums. The same thing happens with a nation. It will have delusions and bad relationships with other nations, as in these cases of countries that don't have much consciousness of their own problems. The most important role of a more advanced society is to demonstrate a better society so that underdeveloped nations can see things better, can develop culturally and receive information, so that the more sick and underdeveloped nations can rise up to the same level as the more developed ones. At an individual level, if a person that is sick attacks another, if the attacked person is mature, he can handle this attack. This happens in psychoanalysis and psychotherapy all the time, where a sick individual attacks the analyst. It is the analyst's obligation, of course, to calm the person down, to help that person become conscious, so that he can see that his problem is inside himself. So, if an advanced nation is attacked by another one, then it must work to make the other nation conscious about their evil. Because if the more advanced nation attacks in response, then it puts itself on the same level, at the same level of sickness as the attacking nation. So when it comes to the question of war, if a leader declares war on another nation, it shows that his nation is very sick. Only a nation or a person that is very sick will attack another physically or wage war against another.
So I'd imagine that this war on terrorism then is a really bad idea, in your view.
Yes, because the idea to create a war, for example, this is the biggest terrorism that exists. The situation of making war, as we are presently experiencing, is terrifying the whole world. When an individual terrorist or a group attacks a country, attacks a society, the society can defend itself because it is much, much bigger than that act of terrorism. But when a big society, or when the biggest power in the world creates a war, well, a greater terrorism than this doesn't exist, because this places that society on the same level as the terrorist. If you attack a problem, you hide it, and then the problem will get even worse. That's why the last century had two world wars, and if there is a third one, especially if it is an atomic one, it will be the end of humanity. Because here is the paradox. The more humanity develops, the more consciousness it has, the more problems it sees. Society doesn't want to see these problems. That doesn't mean it should use more and more repression or destroy more. A society that has so much repression, so many prisons and mental hospitals, lots of ways to eliminate criminals, sick people, this is a sign that such a society is very sick. If a society has lots of sick people, it is because it is a very sick society. So society has to perceive its degree of sickness in order to have a better existence.
If you could say one thing to help the Americans and the rest of us understand terrorism better, what would that one thing be?
When I went to America in 1984, my intention was to help the American people. I think the American people are the ones who suffer the most in this situation, in this orientation that insists in attacking others with war. But we all know that at the end of the day, in this context of war, the ones who are going to die are the people. And no problem will be solved, because any war brings enormous underdevelopment for the nation who declares it and for the whole world. You don't get to good by going through evil. And any war is an enormous destruction to society. Any war that the world has, like the ones in the last century, set civilization back to an unbelievable degree. Through war, nothing can be solved. Much to the contrary, in fact. War brings lots of big problems to the people, and the socially unjust situation continues without any consciousness of it.
The program is Thinking with Somebody Else's Head. You're listening on the Positive World Radio Network. I'm Richard Lloyd-Jones. Back with our consideration of the royal wedding in just a moment. Don't go away. This is Thinking with Somebody Else's Head. You know that already. On the Positive World Radio Network, Richard Lloyd-Jones with you. We're trying on this program to bring some consciousness. Well, actually not just some consciousness, lots of consciousness. Claudia, I have one of our listeners is a flight attendant, and she was traveling through Hong Kong I guess last week, and she couldn't sleep. So she was up listening to our program.
On reigniting
a social conscience. And she said it was so beautiful to be there in the dark, listening to what we were talking about. So it's we're having some impact. People are listening, and that's always nice to know, isn't it? Because we come here every week, and we talk
a lot. And was she more relaxed after that, or was she more awakened?
Yeah, maybe. She didn't say, thank you for helping me not sleep more. So there's lots of things to talk about here. The other night, I couldn't sleep. I woke up at 3 in the morning on Monday morning, late Sunday night. Turned on the TV, and there was everywhere Osama bin Laden. Celebrations in Washington, what look like fake pictures of him, all these kinds of things that are happening. And the conspiracy theorists are having a field day, with what's going on. Alex Jones was saying that the royal family, the royals, William and Kate, got married the same day that Hitler and Eva Braun got married in the bunker.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how true some of this stuff is, but this is the word.
Right, it could be.
Yeah, could be. So maybe we should do a little bit of analysis of what's happening. And then we really want to talk about what's going on behind, because it doesn't help us to know so much. We need to understand all the corruption, all the manipulation going on behind the scenes. But there's really good things happening, too.
Well, what we see, Richard, is two really different kind of worlds, if we could say that. As when we read Cappy's books, we understand what happens. One is the true, real world in society, which is the divine world, which is still here, maintaining all this crap that we are facing. Like it's like our body that was supposed to be healthy and has a healthy structure, healthy organs, but because of our attitudes of denial, our aggressions, our pathologies, it gets more and more in decay up to when we just die. So we see this in the world, in the planet, with humanity. The true, real, divine, essential, energetically essential world is maintaining all these people doing all this crazy stuff and killings and wars and exploitation and lying and hypocrisy, all this making up of things. These ridiculous values they fight for, all these lies, all this megalomania and greediness, all this. So we see this drama going on in front of us as if it would be the true reality, the only possible reality. And this is not so. This is like a theater, an artificial society that is being built century after century upon the true and beautiful and healthy society.
Yeah, like a slapped on top somehow.
Yes.
Like a veneer on top of
the danger is that, as what happens with individuals that end up by killing themselves and each other, that we could destroy the life in this planet. We have possibilities to do that, to destroy and have no possible coming back.
No way to recuperate.
To recover. So, what do you see? You see, for instance, we have been, you just spoke about the marriage of the prince
the
and the
marriage
princess.
Of the century. Yeah.
Yeah. So, what did you see there? A mass of people eager to attend to this marriage. And what is this? Because marriage after marriage, there were six marriages, royal, noble marriages in this British noble family that ended up in divorce.
Yeah.
All of them, this last six marriages. So the huge festivities and the all this
celebration, the
celebration
and the ceremony, the
scenery,
yeah, like creating
scenery,
like a
representation,
like a theater,
acting. Mm-hmm. So, like a theater. So people know this is not true. People know there is very few real human loving values involving the situation. There is a lot of megalomania, of narcissism, of pacting, of
power,
wish for power, and
adoration,
spending money of the people, and abusing power, and humiliating the masses because only they can have this kind of richness to even to like to. It's something so crazy, so sadomasochistic, so crazy, because the powerful, they show off to the people. They are adored by the people.
Yeah.
And that's what the people want to have. They are after this. So they like it. They pact with the powerful.
Yeah. It's like going to a fashion show where you see all the clothes and none of them you can afford to buy.
Yeah.
And you see this incredible, they bring the coaches out and they bring the incredible Westminster Abbey and the choirs and the whole thing. And nobody can have that kind of wedding.
Nobody. So far. So that's why when I heard a San Diego girl or woman, grown-up woman, camping there with a small tent. Here we are, San Diego is here. And three women, they were interviewed and they said, okay, so we can see this only in Disneyland, those marriages, and they are a fake. But here is real. So we are seeing a real marriage, a noble marriage with a princess and a prince and all that.
They live happily ever after.
So there is something in there, Richard, that is very, very interesting, because it comes back again and again, and it brings this enormous wish to live as if it would be real, like to pretend this is real. And this reminds me a saying of St. Thomas Aquinas, that all vices, all sins, they are the distortion of true virtues. So what we see behind this?
Mm. What's the true virtue that's being distorted?
Yes. So first of all, one thing that we can see is that there is this need of adoration, worshiping, that is genuine in humanity. So if we would be adoring and worshiping God and his figures and his, like the Holy Mother, for instance, imagine the Holy Mother in this carriage would be much more beautiful, much more reasonable. But I mean, we should worship God and have God as a king. And when he came, what did we do with him?
Yeah. No, we didn't treat him very well.
Humanity did what it did. So humiliated, denied.
Tortured, attacked,
and killed the true king, the real, real king. So we are really upside down. What we are worshiping is our own theomania.
Yeah.
We are worshiping each other, and we want to happen with us what we see happening with these two kids. What did they do to deserve this? Nothing. So if they had done something would be very much reasonable to pay
And you could understand it, couldn't you?
Yeah, we could understand a little. Now, another thing that, this desire to worship, it's true, it's genuine, but it's deviated to other objects.
Secondary.
Not only secondary, but evil.
Pseudo,
because it's pseudo, it's evil, because we should not adore each other in a human being. And it seems that Satan and Lucifer is behind this, like feeding and because this makes him feel good, deviating the worshiping of Jesus and God and the true God to these creatures.
Yeah, inside a church.
Inside a church.
Yeah.
Inside a church.
Not to the real, even though God is mentioned there, it's God is mentioned as sort of
as a servant.
Accessory.
Being used.
They're calling him forward as an accessory.
Yeah, yeah. Just to use him to serve as a piece or just a piece of this engrenage.
What an, look, this scenery, this show. Yeah. What an interesting observation that we have this need for worship, but we don't turn it in the right direction.
It's an eager wish. This is so, we are genuinely needing to worship.
Yeah.
We are worshipers, but we are worshiping the wrong creatures.
So the other virtues that are being distorted here, there are many. This is one of adoration. Yes, yeah.
There is another aspect, as you mentioned. You mentioned all this beautiful clothing, the decoration, the carriages. So they would say, "What is wrong with that? Isn't that beautiful?" Yes, it is. It is beautiful.
Yeah.
But why just to one or two people? Why not to all humanity? I mean, why not? Everybody having the capacity to use beautiful dresses, elegant dresses, and live in beautiful homes and small castles or big castles. Everybody like sharing beautiful installations and cars. And why should the cars be so destructive and so ugly and so colorless? And so we should have beautiful, not only cars. But we should be already traveling with
spaceships,
really spaceships. We would have technology for that if we would not be for the owners of the oil and the eager economic powerful that are hindering our life in a true, true paradise. We could live in a wonderful, beautiful, and have many marriages beautifully organized like this one.
Beautiful ceremonies too, not
beautiful
just marriages.
Beautiful ceremonies. Right?
We could do artistic events. I mean, you know,
For the people.
Nowadays, to go to see something artistic costs a fortune. Many people can't go. They can't afford to go. And the rich people can go. And many times they don't even have to pay. So it's all being orchestrated for those people at the top. And it's like, you said at the beginning, it's like a masochistic things, like they torture us with a sadistic thing, you know. They say, look at what we can do and you can't do. And we adore them for that. It's so strange, isn't it?
They are there as an audience.
Yeah.
Yeah. They are there paying taxes.
Yeah.
Paying for all this.
Paying for the wedding.
Paying for all this. And not having even a seat, the right for a seat, a decent seat to watch the
incredible.
Yeah. So do you have to...
I should take a break.
I have another...
Another point. Okay, so we don't want to enter into another one. You are listening to our wonderful discussion with Dr. Claudia Bernhardt-Pacheco again today. Yeah, imagine a world of romance, a world of gentleness where people were actually celebrating with art and beauty, everything, the common everyday experiences of life. If they were part of this romantic experience and not just for these special events for a few privileged people, wouldn't that be something? We'll be back in a moment. Thinking with Somebody Else's Head is the program. We're on the Positive World Radio Network. Don't go away. We're back once again. The first part of our program, or second part of our program, was a rather fascinating discussion of, I loved Aquinas' quote, Claudia, that you mentioned, that all sin is a distortion of a virtue. And so we were discussing this at the beginning of our second part of our program about the distortion of romance and the distortion of adoration that we see through this royal wedding. Were there any other values you saw being distorted? Should we move to our other point? here?
Well, we see that when I see this happening, I remember what Kepi wrote in the book Liberation of the People, Pathology of Power. And he said, we are not against money. We are not against beautiful things and houses and boats and airplanes and cars.
Travel around the world.
Whatever beautiful things you can enjoy. What we are against is that the concept that only a few should have richness and power, and that only a few should take this from the people, this right from the people, and that the world is big enough and has richness enough for everybody to enjoy. So if we don't do that, it's because of the psychopathology that is still unconscious, and this game of pathologies, sadomasochistic games of pathologies, one wanting to destroy and to step over others, and the masses and the people wanted to be stepped over.
And destroyed.
So Kepi is always mentions people should not have more than what they can enjoy and use. How come a person can use and enjoy more than $1 billion? How come? How can he use that? When Kepi wrote the book, Liberation of the People, he spoke about a few millions of dollars. That a person cannot possibly use more than some amount of money.
Yeah.
Even if he changes dresses every day, and even if he has
a new car every day,
and change houses every day, even so, he could not spend all the money some of them have.
Yeah.
So Kepi says, we should be reasonable, and people should not have more than what they can use, not afford, use. So what is reasonable for a person to use should be the model of the average citizen of humanity. Reasonable.
Yeah.
So you cannot enjoy 10 houses at the same time. You cannot enjoy 100 houses at the same time. So you can enjoy one home you live in, maybe one on the beach, another in another place, right?
Yeah.
Or you could enjoy hotels, you know, where everybody could enjoy many hotels. So private property, as it is conceived, is an immorality. It's a pathology.
Mm-hmm. Private property, now, so hang on a sec. The way it's conceived now, private property is immoral.
Yeah. So the way society was organized to prevent people to have happiness, to live in freedom, to enjoy the planet, to enjoy the endowments that God gave to us. So it's not a matter that things are missing or we don't have food enough, we don't have room enough, we don't have money enough, we don't have conditions enough and richnesses enough for humanity. What we have should be enough for everybody to live in abundance if we would have a fairer society and fair laws and more balanced, psychologically and socially more balanced society.
Not so voracious to want all the time, right?
Not only wanting, being voracious, but preventing other people to have.
Right.
And this is very evil. And I don't think humanity still got the message that Kepi brought in this book, Liberation of the People. He's not bringing the philosophy of poverty. He's not bringing the philosophy of unhappiness, of sacrifice. On the opposite.
Yeah.
On the opposite, he's bringing the philosophy of the abundance.
Yeah, the world for the people, the universe for the people.
Yes,
not just
and
for
being
a few.
reasonable,
yeah,
and being fair, and being reasonable, and having enough for everybody. So, having education for everybody would provide a more balanced way of having children and raising them, for instance. And we don't have the necessity of having more than one child or two children to be happy. So many couples don't even need to have children in order to be happy. So this overpopulation would absolutely and peacefully and reasonably decrease in one or two generations.
Yes, if the human being were more aligned to these values,
to the true balance, to reality, to nature,
and then we wouldn't feel the need to give so much honor to these young kids. We would have more a true adoration of nature, of the universe, of God, of
and these... we would give the kids, the children, a more balanced society.
Right.
Happier society, fair society. I understand that institutional religions want their followers to have many children so they have many disciples. They guarantee their disciples and their power. I don't understand that God gave any law that humanity should overpopulate like this doesn't even happen in nature.
Like rabbits.
There is a natural control. Where any race, any
species
grow too much. So this is an abnormality, even considering divine laws. So if we use our consciousness, if we understand psychopathology and sociopathology, we will have the means to be balanced and have a balanced and beautiful and rich and abundant society in terms of material goods, culture, arts, happiness, health, and everything.
Dr. Kepi's vision in this book, Liberation of the People, is really something.
It's great. Yeah. It's great. It's great.
It's an extraordinary book.
It's and we think, my God, what should we do in order to put in practice what he's bringing in this book?
Yeah.
A lot of people should know about this.
Yeah. This is on our website, you guys, listening, healingthroughconsciousness.com. The book is available there. Claudia, a couple of days after the royal wedding, we had another sort of momentous event. I couldn't sleep on early Sunday morning. I woke up and I turned the TV on, and there was splashed everywhere was the...
Mm-hmm.
The death, the supposed death of Osama bin Laden.
Supposed.
Supposed, yeah. Mm. It's a pretty suspect. There are
pretty much.
Oh my gosh, there are so many previous acknowledgments from very, very significant people that he's already dead, long time ago, but going back to 2001.
And they say they spoke about him being dead because of natural reasons
kidney problems. Yeah, well, he was on dialysis.
Yeah.
In fact, there's a report that was reported, I think, on 60 Minutes and in a French newspaper, prestigious reports, 9 months before September 11th, that Osama bin Laden was in a CIA hospital in Dubai,
mm-hmm.
receiving treatment for his kidneys.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how a guy could be who's the most wanted criminal in the United States before 2001? He was wanted for bombings all over the world against the Americans. He was wanted. How could he be in a CIA hospital 9 months before 9/11 and not be captured? Because there's something else.
Remember
going
that
on.
Movie produced by this
Michael Moore
guy?
Yeah, sure.
September 11th. He put more than evidences about all this
stuff. So
this lying, this fake.
Yeah.
He brought a lot of things. So why don't people keep to the consciousness, to the reality, and they want to go back and believe in the lying of the mainstream medias and governments?
Why
do they do that?
This is the $64 million question. Why don't we get it?
My God, I want to speak again about this inversion, Richard. We are totally inverted. We are totally upside down. We believe in another God. We totally, fully believe and follow another God, a faker. We believe in a being which is invisible, which is very powerful, which is ruling the world, which is, with all his angels, decayed angels, is ruling the world so far, and that even Muslims, Jewish, and Christian, and many other religions, they know this exists, that this guy is real, and he's dangerous, and he has many followers. And we are worshiping the liar, the big liar and the big lie, instead of worshiping the truth and the true God. So there is a big, big inversion going on here. And many people who believe to be believers, true believers who understand they are believers, they are unknowingly, not unwillingly, but unknowingly, meaning not having full conscious and consciousness of this, they are following the liar, the faker, which is Lucifer.
How are we doing this? How are you seeing
like,
that?
Like what you said, everybody knows that there is something wrong in here. Everybody yeah. knows deep down. When Michael Moore put his picture on the movies,
in his documentary.
Yeah. So many people had more than evidences to understand that there is a big, big conspiracy, really, of the secret societies. And this is not new. This has been for centuries. And we are living under this evil government, hidden government.
It's totally brazen, Claudia. I mean, 10 years they've been trying to catch between quotes, Obama. 10 years.
Yeah.
And suddenly they find him 30 kilometers from Islamabad, in a house. They couldn't have found him 10 years. Well, this is totally,
and being
nobody
buried,
believes this.
And being buried or thrown in the
ocean.
On the what is, what?
And saying, oh, but we have the DNA test. Who has the DNA
what?
Test? And they show us a photograph that doesn't look like a real photograph, and people don't believe it. Have we not heard of Photoshop?
It's not even official.
No!
It's not even official, the photograph.
I know.
So how come?
Oh,
how
my gosh.
How come
Claudia,
people believe in this?
Boggles the mind.
Now, even Celeste, Gerald Celente,
Celente.
My God, he's speaking on TVs all over United States. And he's like what he said, and I understand that Celente is very much aligned with Kepi's ideas of the decay of the American people in the United States.
He knows about our program, too. He's a fan of our program.
Is he?
Yes.
How do you know that?
I know, because he's our good friend Will up in Edmonton told me that he's subscribed to our Healing
My
Through
God,
Consciousness.
My God, how beautiful, because I love what he says.
Yes.
And I understand that he's really applying. If he already knew about Kepi's concepts before, he really got them, and he's really applying them. He's an intelligent guy and very courageous. So what he said, this is a country that has an industry of war. So China produces like...
Everything.
Everything. They industrialize it. They have real country of industry. Now, our industry is an industry of war. So that's what we produce. Our government produces and has to continue producing wars and creating wars and false reasons for war. So he said, I don't enjoy being...
Searched
by those guys at the airports.
Yeah.
I would rather be searched by a beautiful woman.
Yeah, sure. Almost every guy would be lining up then.
So why, Celente, being in all the TVs, why don't people believe in him? I saw in the faces of some of the reporters and interviewing him such an anger and
they're furious with him.
How come? He's at the side of American people. And they are against him.
Yeah. Gerald Celente, you can
Gerald
check
Celente.
Him out. You can find him through Alex Jones's website, but he's an independent guy, too. He's doing very interesting.
Interesting. I like him.
Yeah,
I
me
like
too. Him. We are back in a moment. This is Thinking with Somebody Else's Head on the Positive World Radio Network, discussing the craziness. We have to listen to this because we are giving a lot of power to this pseudo-power, evil power. We are making a big pact with them. Understand that more. Let's do that when we come back. So now we're heading into fascinating waters, what we always do on our program, Thinking with Somebody Else's Head. Richard Lloyd-Jones here with Dr. Claudia Bernhardt-Prosciacco. And I want to get right back into what you were saying, because you're talking about the messenger, Gerald Celente.
Mm-hmm.
Same things happened with Michael Moore. These people who sort of try to shed the light on the problems that are going on, they get attacked. Very strongly. It's like people don't want to believe.
So what
happening.
Happened to Michael Moore?
Yeah, we don't hear anything. Well, he's not believed. He's
uh-huh,
there,
yeah.
But people don't pay attention to him. He's disregarded.
And why? Because why do people want to be stupid? This is stupidity.
Yes.
Why people are so dumb? They're stupid, dumb, alienated, willingly stupid people. I understand that Celente cannot go so far and say that, But I understand that those who don't and who don't that willfully deny what they are, what he's saying, what we are saying, what people have to say, the truth people bring. What kind of arrogance is this?
Yeah,
that is the root is in this inversion, or true inversion, because we must be totally upside down to look life where life does not exist, look for life where death is present, and looking for and running away from life as if life was death. So we are totally upside down.
And not wanting to hear. I saw an interview with two women from MSNBC interviewing an ex-CIA guy about something. And the moment he stepped out of the sort of corporate pattern and said something against the current prevailing thought, they cut him off like nothing. And he said, oh, well, you guys are just carrying Obama's water. They got furious with him. They cut him off in a second. What is it that we don't even want to question? We don't want the truth. We don't want to...
I have some clients in the United States, and I attend them by phone. And they are very embarrassed with what they are watching. But they don't have the courage to understand that even September 11 was a fake.
Yeah.
And for them,
this would be too much.
They can't bear this. They can't bear this.
So the idea being that if September 11th is a fake, then everything we've believed has to be questioned.
Yeah.
And this is the problem that happens with the academics.
But we have to go back, and this is the beautiful aspect of Kepi's love for the true United States of America.
Yeah.
And the true Constitution of United States, and the beautiful country was built in that land, in North America. We could say United States and Canada.
Yeah.
Why not? So, and this is the beauty of it, because there was a lot of beauty that was destroyed, that was misused. People took advantage of it, and people took advantage from this hardworking, idealistic, democratic people that used to live in United States. Until when the economic powerful, the sadistic economic powerful, financial powerful, many of them not even being American, being born in the United States, many of them being millionaires that immigrated and used American people to build their kingdom. And to use military and the idealistic individuals of that country to accomplish their own empire, which is
against the values,
against the people. And what? My God, I see now everybody's being scrutinized, being
searched at the airports, searched, cameras
everywhere. Yeah. Now they have a big excuse. So why they cannot wake up for that? They use this not only to attack the Middle East, not only to create more war, because even the Islamic people are not interested in doing any wars. They are there. They are thinking, oh my God, what is this? They don't stop invading our country.
Yeah.
So what we see is that they provoke, and then they go there and they arm the people. Remember the Iran-Contra affair?
Sure.
When CIA armed the rebellious people?
Yes.
So they do this. Yeah. They still do this.
They're doing this in Libya now.
They do this with these fanatic Islamic groups.
They did it with the Taliban.
They do this with the Taliban. They do this with everybody in order to create war. Because when there is conflict, since Machiavelli wrote, they reign. Yeah. Where there is conflict, they reign.
The banks make money. Banks make huge money. These big corporations make money. But Claudia, come back.
Now they have the big excuse to crash even more American people.
Yeah, exactly. So come back to the point. Why are Americans so unwilling to see the depths of this? Is that
they are confusing something, Richard, because the true American values are still there beneath all this crap, all this garbage, all this pathology. So this is what they should fight for. their own ideals, their own values. And this is something they gave up a long time ago when they brought drugs to the United States, mostly. When they brought...
Pharmaceutical drugs?
Pharmaceutical and illegal.
Illegal drugs, too.
They brought, they drugged the American people. And they offered values, pseudo-values, of this American dream being money, power, and prestige. So American people, they were caught in this inversion too. They thought, okay, so that's the time now for us to be powerful, rich, and power, money, and prestigious.
Prestigious and like
very
famous.
Easily without having to work anymore because they were hardworking people.
Yes.
Now then, when Reagan brought this magic, okay, so now you can be rich overnight.
By doing nothing.
By doing nothing. So they packed it.
A guy called me yesterday, Claudia, a financial advisor. He got a hold of me through my LinkedIn account, and he called me and says, listen, I notice you're a partner in a language school and a voiceover actor and have radio programs, and, you know, you probably want to do something with your money, and I'd really like to help you with your advising you about money, moving your money offshore, these kinds of things. I said, you know, I'm not interested. Flat out. He said, but what about your money in Canada? You have some money in Canada. I said, I have a little bit of money in Canada, but I'm not interested. He couldn't believe it. Yeah. You could hear in his voice. He said to me, you're not interested. Like a question. Like, you're not interested in what to do with your money in that sense. The whole orientation is that way.
Yeah.
And that's the American people.
That's right. So they fell into inside this trap that was prepared for them.
Beautifully prepared for them. Between quotes. Yeah.
So now they are caught. And if they want to go out, I wonder what will happen.
Well, one thing I know is that our work in psychophysical energy, resonance is very important. Dr. Kepi says in his books that even though we're not aware of the influence we have over the other, we have to acknowledge that the energetic factor is the powerful one.
Yeah.
That's what we do energetically.
So that's beautiful.
It's our answer, isn't it?
And many people are speaking about the 2012. And many people understand that this is not going to be the end of the world, that this is going to be the end of this kind of world, and that another world is already... It's already taking place.
It's already
since
there.
Since 1998, according to Casey, Edgar Casey, he forecasted or he previewed.
Yeah. He predicted
that in 1998, already a new era would have the begin.
Would begin, 1998.
Would begin.
The age, the new age, the...
Yeah, the age of individual consciousness, social consciousness, and... spiritual consciousness, where people would be more conscious themselves. Society would be conscious of the true values and the divine values and communication. So this is what Edgar Casey meant, I understand. And this is all about what Kepi does and what his science is about, that we are acknowledging that we have been always linked to the divine energies, that we are supported, we live because of this. We are sustained because of the divine energy. And this consciousness will grow more and more and more, such to a point when social values and structure will become conscious of this and will act and behave accordingly. And that we will understand that God has an inner communication with us and has always have, but without our acknowledgement, without us perceiving and knowing that we are linked to God all the time, we are one and we should be one and we will be one. And we already started to be like a more conscious group, growing more and more. Like a consciousness net that is taking place, and this is already happening. The powerful can't do anything about that because this is God's will, And when God wants, nothing and nobody can stop.
This is a rather beautiful experience today with you, Claudia.
When we speak, we go like into the wonders of the inner life of a person in English, because then we speak in your language, the wonders of the true wisdom, which is very beautiful, which is anyhow it's coming to the planet, a time when we will be able to perceive everything that was done wrong and overcome it and focus more in doing good, which is the essential or the essence of analytical trilogy, is doing good for your fellow man, doing good for yourself, doing good for humanity. So this is the essence of this work. And this is very theological, even though it's very scientific, it's very philosophical, it's very humanistic, it's very theological, because this is the teaching of Jesus Christ, for instance. If you want to have a rule, you just have one major rule. Love God above anything, but do to your neighbor what you would like to be done to yourself. So love your neighbor as you love yourself. This is the máxima, as we say in Portuguese.
The golden rule.
That encompasses all the other laws. So love and do what you want. Love and think what you want. Love in terms of feeling, deep, deep feelings. So go to a philharmonic presentation, go to attend to an opera, and you will be in heaven for a while. Beauty is God. God is beauty.
Seems to me we have a long way to go to achieve all this, don't we? But it's exciting to try. The function of society, that the wise individual should be directing society, people who have a great deal of equilibrium, people who have more of this spiritual connection that Claudia was talking about. This is a society that works well, a society that's democratic, a society that comprehends the Illuminist philosophies that came from France and John Locke in England, trying to tell us to be more fair, to be more just, to be more tolerant, to be more forgiving. Boy, these are tough in these days, aren't they? But it's something that we have to strive for, indeed, if we want to have a better society. This is Thinking with Somebody Else's Head, our program for the week. Richard Lloyd-Jones with you. I'll look forward to talking to you again next week on the Positive World Radio Network. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye for now.